As you can see, we speak of masculinities and femininities in plural because we believe that there's not one kind of hegemonic masculinity or femininity. We don't believe that such a thing exists, and well, we want to make clear that different kinds of masculinities can and should exist in school and in broader society. First, I will give some more information about the research that I carried out the past few years on the school careers of LGB students in secondary education. When I'm talking about LGB, I'm talking about lesbian, gay, and bisexual students. And then afterwards, Wendelin will say something more about the link between sexual identity, what was the focus of my research, and gender identity, because both concepts are linked together, as we will show further on in the presentation. So, but first of all, I'll tell you something more on the research on the school careers and school experiences of LGB students. The main research question of my study was, how do LGB students feel at home in school or perform in school, and what impact has their sexual identity on their school performance, on the way they feel and behave in school, especially in Flemish secondary schools. Flanders is the northern part of Belgium. That's where the research is carried out. Well, previous international research already showed that LGB students are often bullied and discriminated in schools because of their sexual identity. And schools are also perceived as very heteronormative environments. Heteronormativity, I don't know if you are familiar with the concept, but this means that heterosexuality is always seen as the norm, not only in school, but in whole society. For example, in school, in courses, there's not much talking or teaching about other kinds of sexuality or sexual identity. Homosexuality is not a topic that is often covered in courses or textbooks or things like that, but also in other practices in school. For example, school proms. It's always expected that a boy invites a girl to go to the prom, and it can be a very kind of stereotyping kind of, well, for LGB students, they often feel isolated and not feel welcomed in school because of these formal and informal things that are going on. And previous research showed that both the discrimination and the heteronormativity in schools have a very negative impact on the well-being and mental health of LGB students, but also on their school careers and future success in life. And it are those school careers that we further investigated in Flanders, because this was never done before. We didn't know how these students feel or felt in school. Well, most of this research, previous research, has been carried out in the United States. But of course, Flanders and Belgium, the situation is a bit different. Just like the United Kingdom, I suppose, Belgium can be seen as a quite LGB-friendly country. LGB people can marry and adopt children in Belgium. There's also an anti-discrimination law that protects these people from discrimination based on their sexual identity. And among the people in Belgium, we also see quite positive attitudes towards LGB students, especially when compared with other European countries. The atmosphere can be perceived as quite tolerant. But it doesn't mean that there are no problems at all, because the secondary schools are shown to be still very heteronormative. Among secondary school students, we found some real negative attitudes towards gender atypical, but also towards homosexual, gay, or lesbian students, and homosexuality more general, especially among boys, among Muslim or other religious students, and among students in the technical and vocational tracks, which are perceived as the lower tracks in our educational system, although they don't, but people always see them as lower than academic tracks. This is also reflected in the distribution of the socioeconomic status in these tracks. The lower perceived tracks are mostly populated by students from lower social classes, and that's why they are perceived as lower. But it's especially among these students that the negative attitudes towards homosexuality exists. Just to give you some view on the situation where the research has been carried out. Okay. The focus on my research, well, a few of the focuses, because I also did other things next to this, but the focus on the research on the school careers was about the sense of school belonging, so how people feel respected and feel accepted in school, their school motivation and their school performance. So we always compared the attitudes and feelings of heterosexual students with those of LGBT students. Maybe I have to tell you something more about how we measure school performance, because in Belgium we don't have standardized examinations or tests or anything. So we've chosen to look at the certificates that students get at the end of each school year. There are three possible certificates in Belgium. There's an A certificate, a B and a C certificate. The A certificate means that students can continue in their track the next year, so they can just go on. It's like the best certificate that you can get. Then there's a B certificate. This means that you can continue to the next year, but that you have to choose another lower esteemed track. And then the C certificate means that you have to repeat your year. And both B and C certificates are perceived as failure. School failure, when you get a B or a C, you're not good. So that's how we chosen to measure the school performance. We collected our data with an online survey. Online because we asked about some, well, more sometimes difficult things to talk about for people, like sexual identity, things like that. That's why we chosen to use an online survey. And this survey was filled out by 1,745 secondary school students, of which, of course, the majority is heterosexual, like in society in general. But almost 10% of our sample exists of students who identify themselves as lesbian, gay, or bisexual. And then the mean age of our sample was around 16 years old, so. These are a few of the most important or some of them unexpected results that we found in our research. First of all, we found that lesbian and bisexual girls have a slightly lower sense of belonging compared to heterosexual girls. They don't feel accepted and respected in the same amount as heterosexual girls in school. Lesbian girls are also slightly less motivated to perform in school, also compared to heterosexual girls. And lesbian girls, and this was very big effect that we found, is that they are more likely to fail. They are much more likely to get B or C certificates in education compared to heterosexual girls. Here you can see a graph that represents this last finding. We can see on the left side the heterosexual students, so the dotted line, it's this line, represents the girls. So when we see at heterosexual girls, we see that the boys have a higher probability of failure, so a higher probability of getting a B or C certificate than the girls. But when we see among LGBT students, this effect turns around, it just twists. So then it are the girls who have a higher probability to fail in school, and the boys clearly doing better in school than, even among the best if we would compare with the heterosexual ones. So here we can clearly see how this changes just because of sexual identity, which has nothing to do with any school variables as such. So, we did not really expect these findings. We were very interested in what caused this vulnerable position of lesbian girls. That's why I also performed some qualitative interviews with students, because I wanted to delve deeper into the processes that were going on. Why were these girls feeling less well, performing worse? We couldn't really understand it. And I went looking in the literature to find some possible explanations for these findings. And there I found that girls in general, not only lesbian or bisexual girls, but girls in general tend to internalize this stress more compared to boys. When they are confronted with discrimination, for example, they often see themselves as the cause of it and want to change how they behave or how they are. While boys will more often externalize this distress and more see the others as the cause of the problem. And maybe this also is the case among lesbian and bisexual girls. Maybe they just internalize the fact that they are discriminated because of their sexual identity and therefore perform worse in school. Another thing that could have an impact, but we haven't really tested this, all these different, because we didn't have the data at hand, but just the possibility that the invisibility of lesbians in society has something to do with it. I don't know if it's a general thing, but at least in Belgium we see that lesbians are much less visible in society than homosexuals, for example. Also in the media, most when there is a LGBT character in a movie or a series, we see it mostly that it are mostly boys. So maybe girls don't feel they don't have the feeling they can connect to someone. They are more isolated, and this can also have an impact on their school career, or this may have an impact on their school career. Another thing that could explain this finding is the importance of social relations. We know from general research among adolescent girls and boys that social relations, and especially the relation with the best friend, is often more highly perceived or more important to girls compared to boys. And maybe when this relation is disrupted because of sexual identity, this can be harder for girls to cope with, and this can also have an impact on their school careers. Then a fourth possibility is the kind of discrimination that students experience. For lesbian girls, it are mostly, the less visible, maybe more sneaky kinds of discrimination. They are often gossiped about, they are ignored by the other girls. There are things that are not really visible in class for teachers, for example, but that can really have a very negative impact on how these girls feel, how they feel about their sexual identity, about who they are and how they are. So maybe there are these specific kinds of discrimination they are confronted with that have a bigger impact on their school career. Then something that I found very clear in my interviews is this fifth possibility, namely the fact that girls maybe struggle more with their sexual orientation, their sexual identity. What I found among the students that I talked with is that boys were often very certain about their otherness, about the fact that they were gay from a very young age. They felt, I was different even when I was a little kid. I liked to play with other things, and most of the boys did things like that. So it was really more a slowly evolving process of becoming aware that they, maybe they are homosexual, while with girls, this was more something that suddenly became clear, often because of a meeting with somebody else or somebody they saw on television. One of the girls told me that a friend of her, also a girl, told her that she was attracted to girls, and that made her think about her own feelings, the things she experienced. And that's how she found out that she may be a lesbian as well. So it's very often very unexpected and a very sudden moment when they experience that they are other than most of the, that they are different from most of the girls. They also told me that it was very hard for them to accept this change in their identity. And they were also more concerned about the reactions that others would have on it when they would talk about it. So, this was one of the things that became very clear in my own investigations. But then, and that's what the rest of the presentation will be about, is another very interesting probability is that the gender identity of lesbian and bisexual girls could serve as kind of a disadvantage for them. And especially the gender identity of homosexual boys may be the cause why they don't have, why their sexual identity don't have such a negative impact on their school results. Because, students who are, boys who are like more or less inclined to this macho culture that exists in school and are more the kind and quiet boys in class, that's how homosexual boys often define themselves, they will get less in trouble with teachers and they will not have really a negative impact of their sexual identity on their school careers. While these girls who sometimes resisted the fact that they had to be the girly girls or resisted to be to be obedient and things like that, it could serve as kind of a disadvantage. And well, I know it's kind of controversial to state this because Wendelin will talk to you about everything about gender identity and its possible link with sexual identity and its impact on school careers.
Yes. On to my study. So my study was on the impact of gender identity on study processes, like Saskia has already mentioned. Maybe a little more about how we came to this subject. So first of all, it's a bit of a follow-up study on what Saskia already did. Because she found these interesting results, we were really interested, like, how does this work? How does this process go along? So we thought, okay, let's take this concept of gender identity and really use it as an explanatory variable and delve deeper into it and try to really find how it works. Second on, we wanted to broaden the scope and not just focus on LGBT students, but on all students and see how gender identity works for all of them, because of course gender identity is not something which is limited to LGBT students but has an impact on all of us, even here. Then secondly, we also wanted to go beyond the gender dichotomy that we often find in educational research. There's a lot of research about the underachievement of boys and why girls are in fact outperforming boys nowadays. But it often tends to stay limited to this. Boys are underachieving, girls are starting to do better than boys, and that's it. There's usually not a lot of attention for high-achieving boys or low-achieving girls who tend to remain invisible both in research and in policy. And we thought, no, come on, let's delve deeper into it, have attention for the intrasexual differences that are in fact there. And so we thought that gender identity, which is a continuous variable, which can explain perhaps differences between the sexes, but also differences within the sexes, let's take this concept and see what it can do for us. So now I'm going to explain a bit more about the concept of gender identity. You can consider it as the extent to how masculine or feminine somebody feels to be. It's been part of psychological literature for decades, but it's been quite problematic. It has had a lot of theoretical and methodological problems, which has impeded its applied use in research. Only recently, there have become more acceptance of a certain theory, the multifactorial theory, and we have decided to use the gender typicality measure by Egan and Perry, which is an identification measure. This means that we as researchers aren't putting forward a definition for the students and telling them masculinity is this and femininity is this, or giving them some adjectives or characteristics, and then they have to say, I'm like this or like that, and then afterwards we'll say how masculine or feminine they are. No, that's not the way this instrument works. No, we just ask the respondents themselves, how masculine or feminine do you feel yourself? And we let a definition, we let them define it for themselves, what they understood under masculinity or femininity. So typical items in the instrument are, I think I'm a good example of a typical boy or girl, or I feel like my personality is similar to that of other boys or other girls. Yeah. Then we go on to the focus of my study, which is really on the study processes themselves. On the one hand, we have study motivation. We differentiated between intrinsic study motivation, which is about being interested and understanding the importance of studying. And then on the other hand, we've got extrinsic study motivation, which is more about being ashamed if you don't study, or feeling guilty, or feeling like you're forced by your parents or your teachers to study. Then on the other hand, we also looked at academic self-efficacy, which is a measure that asks students about, okay, how good do you perceive yourself to be on several important capabilities, such as being able to do your homework, concentrating in class, stuff like that. Then our sample, so as Saskia has made clear right from the bat, it's two different studies. So our sample is actually quite different. We used a class-based survey, so we went to 59 schools all over Flanders and asked the children to fill out a questionnaire for us. We asked all the seventh grade students in the schools that participated to fill out the questionnaire, and we ended up with 6,380 students filling out the questionnaire, which I think is quite a lot. We're quite proud, actually, about the study. The mean age in the sample, because it are seventh grade students, is about 12 years old. And as you can see, we had an almost even distribution of boys and girls. You should note right here that our mean age is 12 years old, whereas in Saskia's studies, it was 16. So there is, in fact, an important difference. Then we're going on to the most important results that we found so far. This, first of all, we found that typical girls, so girls who feel like they are a good example of the typical girl, who feel like they're the feminine girly girl, they tend to do the best on study motivation and academic self-efficacy. Then second place, we have the typical boys, and then we have the atypical boys, and last of all, the atypical girls, who score worst of all on study motivation and academic self-efficacy. Then a second important finding was the impact of well-being, which explains an important part of the association between gender typicality or gender identity and the study processes on the other hand. And then the third result was that the effect of gender typicality tended to be stronger for girls than for boys, as we will see on this next graph. So the pink line, that's the girls. I know that's quite cliche, but on the other hand, I think it's quite clear for everybody what I'm trying to demonstrate here. So the pink line, that's the girls. And as you can see on the right-hand side, girls, the typical girls, are outperforming everybody. They are scoring the highest on academic self-efficacy. Then we can see still on the right-hand side the typical boys, who are clearly lower than the typical girls, but in fact not doing all that bad. And then on the left-hand side, we can find both the atypical and the atypical boys and the atypical girls, with the atypical girls doing even slightly worse. So now we're going on to our research conclusions. So now we have presented first, Saskia has presented her findings. Now I've presented mine. And now we're going to try to combine both our studies and try to derive some overall conclusions. We should clarify right here, right now, that these are more ideas and hypotheses, because we haven't been able to test all of it yet, also because we don't always have the right data to do it. So we'd really appreciate your feedback and your comments afterwards about our ideas, because it's still work in progress. Maybe first of all, we should clarify why we feel we can infer some overall conclusions, because her study on the one hand is on sexual identity, while mine is on gender identity, which are two separate concepts. But nevertheless, we still feel like we can find an underlying similarity there, because first of all, gender atypical and non-heterosexual people, gay people, they both deviate from the norm that is expected in society. And furthermore, gay people tend to display more gender atypical behavior, as has been shown in several researches. So that's why we feel like there is definitely a similar baseline there. We're not trying to say or state that all gender atypical people are gay, not at all. But we do feel there's a similarity there where we can derive some overall conclusions from.
Well, the first and most obvious similarity in our research, I think you all noticed that both in her study as in mine, it are the atypical girls that are performing worse. Both the gender atypical girls as the lesbian girls seem to perform worse in school and are the least motivated compared to the other students. And we believe this can be related to some of the things that we already pointed at about their gender identity. They feel they don't live up to the expectations that are made of girls in general in education, like the typical feminine student role of behaving and being quiet and handing homework on time and being very tidy. Maybe they don't feel that they should always be compared with these girls, and they don't really fit in what is expected from them. And this, of course, could lead to a lower well-being when people don't feel they fit in, especially at this age. Teenagers, when they have the feeling they don't fit in, it often has a very negative impact on how they feel about themselves. But even when we controlled for well-being in both our studies, we found that there still was an effect of the gender identity or the sexual identity of the girls that we investigated. So it's not all well-being, there has to be something else. And then, the results of my research showed that it can have something to do with the identity struggle that many girls are experienced with. Not to say that boys who are atypical or gay doesn't perceive this, but it seems to be less strong, or at least have a less important impact on their school results, and that's why we are investigating here. So maybe this identity struggle is an explanation for both the worst performance of lesbian girls as that of atypical girls.
Then a second similarity that we found was the smaller impact of gender identity on boys than on girls. In Saskia's study, we found that gay boys didn't significantly differ from the heterosexual boys, whereas the lesbian girls did a lot worse than the heterosexual girls. In my study, we found, as you might remember in the graph, that the slope was a lot steeper for the girls and that there was less variance between the boys. So overall, we can say that the impact of gender identity is stronger for girls than for boys. The first explanation that we came up with, and this one we actually did find, was the smaller impact of well-being on the study processes for boys. The second one that we think is quite plausible is study culture, which differs for girls and for boys. On the one hand, study culture among girls is less strict. Girls can actually get good grades, study and concentrate in class, and still be quite popular among their friends and without it having to impact on their friendships. Whereas on the other hand, we've got a more strict study culture among boys, where if they do are interested in class, if they get high grades, if they enjoy studying, they usually get penalized for it by their peers. And in most research, it's even been called an anti-school culture among the boys, or a lads culture, as it has often been dubbed. So that's why we believe that there's a lot less variance among the boys, especially on the study processes that we are examining. Of course, those are first two explanations. The third one is a bit different, in that we are thinking, okay, maybe there isn't a difference at all when we would look at them when they're older. Maybe it's just because both Saskia and I were working with samples who are focusing on teenagers. So they're both still quite young. And it's been shown in several studies that boys tend to lag behind on girls when it comes to development. Both physically and psychologically, they tend to lag behind about 2 years. But they catch up, of course, later on, they catch up. So men, you shouldn't feel like you're inferior or something. No, not at all. But we thought, okay, maybe if you had a sample with young adults, like 20 years or something, maybe we wouldn't find a different impact of gender identity. Maybe this is just a temporary effect. But of course, we can test it because we don't have the right data. But maybe somebody here in the audience has data like that, and maybe it might make an interesting research question. So we don't really know, but we feel these are quite plausible explanations.
Of course, there were not only similarities in our research, we also find some interesting differences. For example, the boys. Why are gay boys performing good in school and atypical boys aren't? Why is there the same thing going on like with lesbian and atypical girls who were very similar in their school performance? We didn't find this among boys. Well, one of the possible explanations that we came up with, but we didn't test them, as Wendelin said, because we couldn't, because of data restrictions. Maybe gay boys, because they already identify as being gay, and maybe they just accept that they are different than the other boys, than most of the other boys in school, and they just don't want to live up to this macho anti-school culture anymore, because they know, well, we are gay, we are different, that's who we are. And they also have another reference category, namely the LGB community, where they may find some more associations with, so they don't really feel the pressure of this macho culture in school anymore. While atypical boys who not necessarily identify as gay may experience a more thorough identity struggle still. Maybe they are, maybe it's harder to be just atypical than to be gay and can say, well, I'm gay. Well, there's not such a term for being atypical. You're just different. There's not even a name for it. So maybe it's harder to be just atypical than to be gay. We don't know. It's just an assumption, but it could be that it has something to do with the way they identify and the way they feel they can connect with others who feel the same. So because maybe these atypical girls therefore are more feel more pressure to behave like other girls, boys. And they tend to avoid associations with the feminine student role. Of course, here again, it could also be caused by our data, because as we showed in some of the previous slides, we are talking about a different age category. Her students are 12 years old, are still, well, entering secondary school. Well, not yet even.
No, they're in.
Not yet. While most of the students in my sample were 16 years old, and it could be just an effect of age. So not the fact that they maybe some of these atypical boys will later on also identify as gay. We don't know that yet, and well, maybe they just don't differ when we would compare them when they had the same age. But of course, unfortunately, we can't do that yet.
And then lastly, we'd like to bring forth two discussion points. So first of all, as has been made clear by Saskia already, we had atypical boys and girls and the lesbian girls who tended to do worse of the lot. But we had the gay boys who aren't actually doing all that bad. So why are those gay boys different from all the other atypical youngsters that we have in our sample. We're not quite sure, and we definitely would like your input regarding this question. And then secondly, we focused on children who are not doing as well in school, and that's usually how research is conducted. We focus on those who are struggling, and maybe that's just because we want to make things better in the world, and that's good that we're like that. But maybe we should turn the question around and turn it upside down for once and focus on why are those heterosexual and those typical girls actually excelling. And maybe there are some interesting processes there that could actually help us understand what's impeding the other youngsters from achieving as well. So maybe you have some interesting views regarding that matter as well, which we would definitely like to hear about in the discussion. And now we would just like to thank you for your attention, and we're looking forward to changing some arguments and some views with each other. Thank you.